You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Psalms, chapter 66, verse 16. Psalm 66, 16. Thank you, Brother Milby, so much for the message. I appreciate Brother Milby. He always speaks to my inner man and makes me want to preach. And, of course, he's right. If you've ever seen God move, really move, you're ruined in a good way the rest of your life. I appreciate the message and how God spoke to my own heart. And I do want to thank you again for the privilege to be here during these days. It's always a great honor and a privilege to be a part of this meeting. I've received some special blessings in this place. And Brother Neesmith, we have been here a few times when it would have been dangerous to have been in the aisles if you weren't in the Spirit of God. But God has certainly sanctioned this meeting with His divine approval. And I always enjoy coming to this area. I was thinking the first time that I preached in the state of Alabama as a teenager, I believe Lorraine Wallace, or Lucy Wallace, George Wallace's wife, was governor. So that's a long time ago. But I always appreciate the privilege to be a part of the meeting. I love and appreciate Brother Neesmith. Appreciate Brother Whalen and the job that he's doing here. And I know the Lord is using him and all of these men of God. And I do want to express my gratitude to the church for all of your labor, for all of your sacrifice, and for your prayers. And I'm just humbled to be a part of these services. Psalm chapter 66. Verse 16, come and hear all ye that fear God, and I will declare what hath done for my soul. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our fathers, we bow in your presence. We come first, ask you to forgive us, to cleanse us of every sin. Pray that you'll search us, try us. See if there be any wicked way in us. Cleanse us of it. Lead us in the way everlasting. We're aware, Lord, that you're holy, you're righteous. You cannot and will not hear us if we regard iniquity in our heart. And I pray that nothing shall be between us and thee. Thank you for the message that we've heard, for your servant. Thank you for speaking again to my own heart. Thank you for the wonderful music that's lifted up our hearts in worship and praise to you. Thank you for this church, for this dear pastor, and I pray your blessings on him as he labors here. Thank you for Brother Neesmith, for his faithfulness, for his love for you, for the burden that he carries. And I pray, Lord, that you will continue to bless him in all of his labors. Bless every man of God. Thank you for them. I pray that you'll bless them in their respective places of service. And Lord, we do pray that even in these dark hours, Lord, that you'll be pleased to send revival to us to some measure. I pray, Lord, that you'll lift up a standard against the flood tide of iniquity. Oh, Lord, without not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. And as a result, sinners shall be converted. I pray now that you'll be pleased to touch thy servant. Give us that special anointing. Illuminate our mind. Loose our tongue. And may the Word of God go forth in its power. And when we leave tonight, may we be aware that God has spoken to us. That God has said something to our hearts. We love you because you first loved us and gave yourself for us. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. I want to speak to you tonight as we look at verse 16 of the 66th Psalm about the anchor of the soul. It's been my privilege on one or two occasions to visit the home, the house where John Knox lived in Edinburgh, Scotland. And I stood in the very room where John Knox died, where he went to heaven. When John Knox lay dying, he said to his wife, bring me the holy book. read me the text that brought me to Christ. And she read to him from John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I would not want to face eternity with anything less than assurance that all of my hope, it was and is in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 6:19 says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. I can say tonight with gladness that many years ago I anchored all my hope in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:12. I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. That night when I looked to Him by faith, I was convinced by the Holy Spirit that He was able to save me. And I believed His Word. And I can look back tonight after all these years and with even more confidence and even more blessed assurance say, I know whom I have believed. Yes, who He says He is. He has done what He said He would do. And He will perform and keep every promise. Our text, Psalm 66:16, is a good place to anchor your soul. And of course, it's absolutely important that you anchor your soul in Christ. As we think about the soul, the creation of the soul, I remind you that the soul is not material. It's not carnal. It's not tangible. The soul is a spiritual thing. It's invisible. No one has ever seen a soul. We see a body with a soul. Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils a breath of life and made man a living soul. And so the soul is a product of God. It is a product of the breath of God, of the life of God, of the energy of God, and all that means. Adam's body, was not made in the likeness of God. God has no body parts. God is a spirit. And when Jesus Christ came to the earth, He revealed the Father, for He was the Word in the beginning. Was the Word? The Word was with God, and it was in the flesh that Jesus, the Word, was manifest. Adam's soul was made in the likeness of God. That is, the soul of man is eternal. It shall never die. It will live forever. It is the soul that is capable of contemplating God. And we worship God with our soul. I will lift my soul unto God. It is the soul that approaches deity. It is the soul that enters into the thrice holy presence of God. I remind you that our bodies experience what our soul feels. That's why I don't need a worship team, a praise team. For when God saved me, the praise team moved in my heart. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And when I worship, and when the Spirit of God comes on me, I know what to do. I'll figure it out. It is a soul that worships God. And it is with a soul that we approach God. And then think about the continuation of the soul. The body dies, but the eyes of the body no longer shall see, the soul will see. When the ears of the body shall no longer hear, the ears of the soul will hear. When the body can no longer feel, the soul will feel. As that rich man discovered in torment, as he was tormented in the flames of fire. The soul lives on, unaffected by the removal of the body. And your body is removed from your soul. Though the body is dead, that soul is still alive. It's going to live somewhere in eternity, either in heaven or in hell. It will live on either in the absolute happiness of heaven or the eternal sorrows and torment in the regions of the damned. What is 100 years compared to eternity? Once the body yields up the soul, and once that tie is cut, then our state at that moment becomes our eternal state. There's no salvation possible after the soul leaves the body. There's no purgatory. There's no limbo. There's no stopover. The state of the soul at death will determine that eternal state. And so in light of that, what good are the praises of time when all eternity is torment? What good are the companions of time when all eternity is loneliness? What good are the bright lights of time when all eternity is darkness? What good are the joys of time when all eternity is agony? What good is anything in this world if you lose your own soul? For Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Now nobody can get all the possessions of the world. But Jesus says, if you could get all the possessions of the world, if you could occupy every throne, if you could satisfy every lust of the flesh, if you could satisfy and receive everything that this world has, and let yet lose your own soul, what doth it profit you? And therefore, it is absolutely essential that you anchor your soul in Jesus Christ. Briefly, and then I'm through. This anchor that I'm talking about in Psalm 66:16, there's a word of invitation. The psalmist said, come, all ye that fear God. That's an invitation. And what an invitation that is. The first invitation in the Bible was the word come. When God said to Noah and his family, come, thou and all thy house into the ark. 120 years, Noah had preached righteousness unto those people around him. And only 8 members of his family only were saved delivered safe in that ark. Peter's epistle says that he was a preacher of righteousness. Maybe that's why I had so few converts. Noah didn't stand in front of that ark and say, smile, something wonderful is about to happen. But for 120 years, he preached the righteousness of God. He preached the judgment of God. And the people turned a deaf ear and would not listen. And then one day, see, the strange passengers of that ark began to arrive as the animals come down the road by twos. And their legs went led without a human hand, safe into that ark. And then God says to Noah and his family, come thou in thy house. And that great massive door that was 3 stories high that reached from the first to the 3rd floor in the mercy of God remained open 7 days. But on the 7th day, see that massive door slowly but surely shut. And then watch that door as it is closed. for open death. Hear the shrieks and the cries of men and women as they sink beneath the waters. See the houses overtaken with water. See the mountains just jetting up here and there, standing like islands above the water. And soon they are covered as well. And this earth becomes one gigantic global sea. A sea without a beach to hurl its crest at. But out on that global sea, I see a weird looking old vessel. Very saved. It has outridden the storm. Its flesh always delivered. And it sails toward a better and a perfect day. Thank God for that invitation. Come thou in all thy house. The last invitation of the Bible. Revelation 22:17. The Spirit of the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst say, come. Some time ago, I preached from John 3:16, and after the service, a young man said, I want to see you. And that always scares me. Glad for so this time. And so I came back to the prophet's room where I was staying. He had a big, thick bunch of papers. And he said, you know, you preached the lie. You preached heresy. God don't love the whole world. And he went into all that. And after he got through with all that, I was tired and worn out anyhow. And I finally said, sir, this is quicksand. I just know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And if I happen to mistakenly tell somebody God loves them, don't you guess he'll forgive me? But I know this. I'm to preach the gospel to every creature. And then he said, do you want my papers? I don't need your papers. I've got the book. I do know this, that salvation is of the Lord from start to finish. I know that not everyone will come. But for those that will come, there's an invitation. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And salvation is God's business. And it is the Lord's work. Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. If you're young or old, if you're famous or infamous, educated or uneducated, it does not matter. Come every sinner, thy sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. He will save you. And on the authority of this book, as many as called upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that's a work God does in the heart. It's not just a verbal expression. You know, a lot of you can use the words and in reality not call on the name of the Lord. But this speaks of a heart that has been awakened by conviction and has by the Spirit of God seen themselves as a sinner. Some time ago I was in a meeting. The little girl came one night during the invitation and said to the pastor, Jesus is breaking my heart. I want to be saved. That's what he done to me. It is godly sorrow that bringeth forth repentance. And with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Not the organ, but with that spiritual man. Thank God, it is the work of God. And I say to that, on the entire this book, come, come. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, there's mercy with the Lord. There's a word of exhortation. Here is an invitation word, an exhortation word. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. Now if the fear of God has gripped your heart, you can come. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And I like what John Newton wrote. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And it was grace that relieved my fear. It was a holy fear of God that brought conviction to my heart. And immediately, when I looked to the Lamb of God, that same grace relieved my fear. And my soul found peace. Hear and your soul shall live. Faith cometh of hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. And for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. What Brother Milby told you, of course, as you know, it is right. It's scriptural. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Salvation is of the Lord, and the invitation is, come all ye that hear and fear God. There's a word of exhortation, a word of proclamation. I will declare. The psalmist had made up his mind. He was going to tell it. And if God has saved you, it will get out on you. And if it don't ever get out on you, it never got in you. But if God has done a work in your heart, it is the reality. I will declare what it's done. I think about Bud Robinson, the Nazarene preacher who lived during the turn of the 20th century. And he one day was crossing the street and was hit by an automobile in those early days. And they placed him in a large ward with several men, all broken up from the accident. And Bud Robinson said one day the priest was coming down from bed to bed taking confessions. And he said he finally got to me, and the good Holy Father had been over me, and his breath reeked with alcohol. And the Holy Father said to me, is there something you'd like to confess? And Bud Robinson said with all the strength I could muster up, I said, yes, I want to confess Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. And the good Holy Father ran out and left him. The psalmist said, I will declare it. I'll tell it. I'll tell it. I'll tell it. And if God has saved you, you can't help but tell it. I think, Brother Neesmith, I'd explode if I couldn't tell it. I know everybody don't have to scream when they preach, but that's my style. And I believe if I didn't, I'd blow up. I have something to declare. I want to praise God for what He's done in my soul is a reality. And with this all power, stammering tongue, while silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter soul, I'll sing that power to say, their dying lamb, that precious blood shall never lose its power. He wrought my soul. The psalmist said in 139:16, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being perfect. In thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. My voice was not hid from thee, when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lower parts of the earth. What a work that was when God wrought our souls in our mother's womb and formed our body. And God saw to it that we were brought forth with an eternal plan.
I don't know the number in heaven. I know there's a multitude that no man can number. But as Brother Milby mentioned last thing, I know there are at least 5 to 55 million little American babies that are there. I know all that God is going to fill up heaven with sinners saved by grace. The wonder of God's eternal plan. He sought my soul. And what a search that was. Jeremiah 31:3. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. He came all the way from eternity into time. Waited 4,000 years. And he came to Bethlehem's barn. And grew up in Nazareth in the carpenter shop. Outside Jerusalem. On a hill called Golgotha. Nailed my sin to the cross. And paid my sin debt. And on the third morning, outside Jerusalem, God upheld that grave. And after 40 days ascended up to the Father. The eternal plan of God for our salvation. With everlasting love has loved us. Somebody says, I wished I could know that I could be saved, that I was called. That I was being drawn by cords of loving kindness. And that I was being drawn with everlasting love. I wish I could know that. I think if that's your desire, you probably are. With cords of love, God said, I've drawn you. He bought my soul. He purchased my soul at Calvary. He gave His life for me. He poured out His blood on purpose for me. He did not die by the hands of wicked men. Even because the wrath of God was poured out on that sacred head. That He voluntarily, on purpose, went to Calvary to bear my sin in His own body on the cross. He bought my soul, brought my soul. Luke 15 said that shepherd found the sheep. The next verse says, when he cometh home. Nothing said about the possibility of that sheep getting lost. Not making it. Verse 15, he found it. Verse 16, he got home with it. And every soul God's ever saved will safely arrive in Emmanuel's land. Not a one in the grace of God will be missing. And thank God, He got my soul. Old Billy Bray over in Cornwall, England, said once I was a bad man and a sad man, but God made me a glad man. The world says I'm a mad man, but God and I know I'm a glad man. And the moment that God saves a sinner, that soul is anchored eternally in Jesus Christ. Did you know that if an old drunkard went into a rescue mission or wherever, heard the gospel, and the Holy Ghost awoke his heart, and he truly repented and became a member of the family of God, that right now he's one of God's children. He might still have a bad headache, but God immediately translates us into the kingdom of God. In a moment's time. Of course, there's a process in salvation. A divine process. An eternal process. But salvation takes place so fast, you can only talk about it in the past tense. If you touch a hot wire, you don't say, out. I'm now being shocked. But shocked! And salvation takes place so fast, and you can only say, saved, 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 saved by the blood of the crucified one. For in a moment, your soul can enter the haven of rest. Never can we, or ever will we, apologize for praising God for His salvation. Hallelujah! 10,000 hallelujahs! Through the ages roll. Worthy is the Lamb, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us unto God by Thy own blood. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. We sang in the opening Mr. Spafford's song. You know the story of how he lost everything, the Chicago fire. His family was going to France. The ship went down. All four daughters were drowned. Mr. Spafford took the next available ship, the Harvard Grosse, was traveling across the North Atlantic. And the captain, whoever identified him, at the spot, let him know at the spot where the ship had gone down and where his four daughters had died, his wife had been spared, and had sent him a telegram, saved alone. But Mr. Spafford went out and stood on the deck of that ship in the cold winds of the North Atlantic and looked down to that salty, briny sea, thinking about his four daughters that had gone down into that sea. And he wrote that blessed old song, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. Sail the wild seas no more. In Jesus I'm safe evermore." And I like that verse that says, "My sin in part, but not the whole, is nailed to the cross. I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is well with my soul." We do live in a turbulent world and days that are dark days beyond compare. But thank God, Brother Milby, there's a baby in the bulrushes. There was a baby born in Bethlehem. And that, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. The man whom the senses could not wither, whom the infidels could not destroy. He is coming in all of His power and glory. Amen. And my soul is anchored in Him. Thank God for that blessed anchor that holds